Good morning, everybody. Wow. Well, this morning's going to be interesting. This morning, I'm going to be talking about the heart. And it's been a journey that I've been on for some time. And the Lord has just taken me through some paths about exploring my heart. And in it, as Candy and I have talked, it's just developed more and more and more and more and more. And I think it's very appropriate for the time and the hour that we're in, especially as a culture. We've got to be very careful of our hearts. It was interesting when I was getting ready this morning, actually. I had this picture filed in my Bible. And it's a picture that my daughter Ashley drawed me and gave me when she was a little girl. And I thought how appropriate it was since I'm talking about the heart this morning. In Matthew 15, 18, it says, from the mouth Wow, this hadn't happened in a long time. It says, from the mouth, the heart speaks. The more I think about that, the more profound it becomes. I got something I think I'm supposed to do, but I don't know. That's why I'm kind of pausing here. Okay, I'm going to stick to the plan. Jim, go ahead and play that song, please.
I'm all right. Smile in the darkest night, come what may. Oh, I can talk like I'm so bright. Yeah, like I've seen the light in a cheap cliche. I can't imagine where I would be without you. What I would do without you. I can believe what you say to me. We can do anything. And I can see what you mean to me. 'Cause you bring everything. Turn to with the feelings I can't work through day by day. The one that I run to, pouring out all my heart to you, 'cause you hear me pray.
I can't imagine where I would be without. Imagine
in the 139th Psalms, it says this: O Lord, you have examined my heart, and you know everything about me. You know when I stand, you know when I sit, you know my every thought from when afar. You chart my path ahead of me, and you tell me where to stop and where to rest. Every moment you know where I am, you know what I am going to say before I even say it. For me, that's kind of a scary thought at times. You place your hand of blessing upon my heart. I'm going to say it's probably been about a year ago. Let me rewind. The Lord has been dealing with Scott Hadfield's heart for some time. I've always been a heart guy. I don't know if that's just the way my parents raised me and taught me, but for me, I've always had a focus where no matter what I do in my life, it's always been about the heart. It starts at the heart. And I would say probably, like I said, about a year ago, November, I was heard the summer that Austin, my son, who's in the Navy, was going to be was going to get reassigned to Navy Base Okinawa. He was previously in San Diego. And I've been looking forward to his visit before he leaves. And what has happened previous times in the past is we'd alternate his visits, staying with me or staying with his mom. It just how it landed, that's the way it happened. So prior to that, his sister Ashley has been living with me for some time. And her mother and stepdad bought a house two blocks south of me. And I was really excited. So she moved in there. So I was in my apartment. I have a two-bedroom apartment. And being the loving daddy that I am, I gave her the large room, and I had this little room, which is good in a way but bad because I know Candy can probably testify to this. That means I've gone to having a little room that's a messy room to a room that's a bigger mess. So, but it's still a blessing. But so I was really excited getting that middle room set up for Austin to come home to stay with me. Well, like I said, his mom and stepdad bought this house to south of me. And so he decided to stay with his mom instead of stay with me, which would have been my turn. let's not go there this morning. So anyways, I was there, and he said, well, Daddy, I'm going to stay. Let me rephrase. Old man is what he calls me. He said, old man, I'm going to stay with Mom, and she got her house and whatever. To be honest with you, it hurt. Honestly, by the way, before I get too far ahead of myself, I'm talking about Scott Hadfield this morning, and I'm going to be probably really transparent. I hope that's not too much for us this morning. He stayed with his mom. So in the process of that, I was, needless to say, shuffling things around in my apartment, moving from the little room to the big room. I'm kind of a weird person. I like to shuffle stuff in my living room around the couch here. It's been old to shuffle things around. So one Saturday afternoon or something, or Sunday afternoon, I don't remember, Candy and I were just sitting there just talking like we do. And she says, you know, baby, it's interesting that, you know, when you, correct me if I say this wrong, when you shuffle stuff around in your room, I don't even know what kind of thing I'm calling it, the flesh, whatever you want to call it, something's happening in the spirit. You're shuffling things around in the spirit. You're doing rooms in the spirit. And the place where I was at the time, I'm like, okay, whatever, you know. I told you I'm going to be transparent this morning, guys. I'm serious. So I'm like, yeah, like, whatever. Go Candy, whatever, you know. So anyways, that's in the back of my head. I'm like, yeah, whatever. So it's interesting, several weeks later, I was sitting there on what I call my QMT time, which is my quiet meditation time. It's when I sit with my three favorite things. To be honest, I'm going to be honest this morning. My three favorite things. Oh, this is hard. It's going to be my Bible, my cup of coffee, and my
cigar.
Thank you very much. He had to say it. He said, I can. So anyways, I'm sitting there just having time with the Lord. In the morning. Go figure. Saturday morning ritual. I'm sorry. And as I'm sitting there, I have my three guys, and I've shared this before. I have three guys that just keep me on the straight and narrow, and it is Charles Spurgeon, Oswald Chambers, and my new guy is a guy by the name of E. Stanley Jones, who used to be a Methodist missionary to India. So I'm reading this, and usually they're kind of scattered on what they talk to you about. But this particular morning is interesting because he talked about the same thing. And they all, in their own way, talked about the heart. They all were aligned in talking about the heart. So as I was sitting there, I was like, Lord, there has to be something in my life that you want to deal with Scott Hatfield's heart. And he said, yes, there is. So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, okay, I'm here, Lord. I got my things, got my Bible, my cup of coffee, and my fine St. Louis Ray cigar, and we're going to do our thing, Lord. And he's like, remember when my daughter, Candy, told you about the rooms shuffling around? I was like, yeah. He says, son, you have rooms within your heart that needs to be cleaned out. And I was like, what? You have rooms within your heart that needs to be cleaned out. So at the beginning of this whole time, he challenged me. He asked me this question. And the question was this, as we went and did this little exploration of my heart. He says, I want to see if your heart is as soft as a tomato, or are there places in your heart like a rock? And I'm not talking about Chevrolet, by the way. I'm telling you, that's kind of a hard thing because to me, I've always felt that the heart is really a sensitive thing to talk about. It's kind of a dangerous place to go when you talk about people's hearts. Some people will receive it. Some people with a little room with the word pride on it. Not me. Look at who I am. I'm Scott Hatfield. The third born, the best out of the three. I mean, it goes on. The better looking. Come on. No pride there, is there? So anyways, I was like, wow, rooms in my heart. So Candy and I have been talking about that, and she's just been brilliant. She's been just bringing stuff. I'm like, wow. So she came and she brought this diagram, which I had some stuff, and I can't remember what I did with it. And she did a diagram of a house and the different floors. I said, babe, that's just phenomenal. Because as we've talked, what we found out was this, is that there's different places, different areas, different rooms within our hearts. Depending where it's at, speaks volumes. So as I've gone down this journey, knowing, as the scripture says, he knows when I stand, he knows when I sit. Man, he even knows before I just said what I just said, what I'm going to tell you about, because he knows what I just said, what I just said. So we're sitting down here, and I said, okay, Lord, let's do this. So I was going to the first floor. There's a main floor, the second floor, the attic. And there's the basement. Look out on that one. So we're just talking about the areas, those rooms. And I was like, okay, let's do this. So we'd hit the room. We hit the main floor, and he showed me some things. Is your heart going to be like a rock? Or are you going to be like a tomato? It's going to be soft. Or are you going to be hard in these areas? Okay. So the first floor wasn't that bad. Pretty much your everyday stuff at work, whatever. no problem. So sometime later, he said, okay, we're going to go to the second floor. Okay, that was tougher. He brought out some more stuff, and I'm like, huh. Oh, wow. Yeah. Then we went to the attic. And that was even harder. Because see, it's the attic, if you will, of the heart, is where you put stuff up out of sight, out of mind. See, one of those boxes that I found that was in the attic blew me away. And to this day, it still blows me away. Because see, what I found was in the box in the attic of my heart was this. A box, which became a room, and the word said, betrayal. Wow. Betrayal. What is this, Lord? What I come to find out was this. Is in that time building up before my son came home, and when he came home that month of November a year ago, he came home and he stopped in on that Thursday when he flew in. He stopped in for, I think it was like 20 minutes. What's up, old man? Chatted with him a little bit. He goes, oh, I got some stuff to do. I got to go. Okay, man, I'll see you later. Just a block south of me. Easy back and forth. But see, what happened was he came that first Thursday of November. The rest of that week went by. Second week went by. The third week started, and I still didn't see my son Austin besides that 20 minutes when he first flew in. And what I noticed was there's this thing that started to taste foul in my spirit. And it got foul, and I was talking to Ken. I was like, babe, I don't know what this is. And we just talked back and forth, and she threw some ideas, and it was brilliant. I'm like, yeah, okay. No, I don't know that. Kept on getting more familiar. And as the month went by, we're getting almost to the last, coming up on the last week, I think it was. And I was at one of my places to kind of chill, Brownsburg Cigar Bar. And I was just hanging out, just working through some things. And my daughter stopped by. And she says, Daddy, what's going on? I kind of teared up. I was like, I've seen my boy all month. He's gone from a safe place, San Diego, to Okinawa, where there's a man in South Korea who wants to nuke him. He's more in harm's way. I can't get on a plane and fly 4 hours, $500, and see my boy. I'd have to pay 19 to 2 grand and be on a plane for 14 hours. Not going to happen. Needless to say, being little sister, went home and gave her brother a little tongue lecture, and the rest of that week I saw him. But see, this is what I found out. Listen, after almost 10 years from my divorce, I'm ashamed to say this, the feelings that I had towards his mother, I am not going to repeat before you. Because I'm too ashamed of what I wanted to do to that woman, which he betrayed me 2 times. But it was in the attic of my heart, because I had to be a strong daddy. When it went down, I had to be a strong daddy. I had to suppress it. I had to be the man. I couldn't cry. I had to be strong. So what I said to myself is, I'm going to suppress this. I'm going to put this in a box and put it away. And one day when my kids are up and on doing their own thing, I could pull them out and really face them. Look him in the eye. But the thing about it is that room called betrayal, I had the key. I found out I had a lot of keys. And that's what I did with it. I threw them away. But you know something about our King Jesus? He has the master key. He said, come on, son, we got to get this taken care of once and for all. Because I love my ex-wife. As one man said, there's a gentleman we all know who hurt this body. He says, I got to love this guy, but I don't like this guy. I was amazed about the bitterness and the thought. It's like that, gosh, I hate to be so descriptive. It's like that bow when you hurl that comes up, that foulness. I'm going to be honest. That's what was in my heart. And as I thought about this, what I'm finding is this. Even when it comes to betrayal, that betrayal also led to bitterness. But what I'm finding, and I'm still hanging with this, guys. Unless I get that betrayal or that bitterness, that's what I should say, the bitterness, blessings will not flow in that room. Because what we are called to do is get those things and repent. Lord, I went into my ex-wife 10 years ago. Because see, what he wants to do is he wants to do what's the big thing this day. He wants to renovate our hearts. That's what he died on the cross for. He wants not half of us, he wants all of us. Unfortunately, it doesn't happen in the moment. At least I don't believe until I'm in a pine box 6 foot under will it be completed. Because I know that the heart is exceedingly wicked. It's deceptive sometimes. But I've got to get that out. I had to get that out. So he got the master key and he unlocked that door and he said, okay, son, let's do this. Whew. So I thank you, Jesus, that I got rid of that. Because let me just tell you something. I got to be very careful with this one. Our relationship would not be complete when the time comes for us to be one if I had that bitterness towards my ex-wife in there. So I see in both of us, there's things God's changing. He's working. He's removing from the rooms of our heart. He wants us to clean the rooms of our hearts out. Now the basement. Ooh, I'm getting a little bit long. I'm sorry. I didn't think I'd have enough time to say what, or not enough to share in a few minutes. But anyways, so I'm going to do the basement. And he says, okay, let's do the basement. So I remember when I was a young boy, my grandparents, who were ministers, had a parsonage in Kokomo, Indiana. And in their parsonage, they had these old crickety stairs going to the basement. I mean, they're just the framing and then the steps. And I mean, you walk down, it's one of those deals, you know. But in the basement, my grandpa built these shelves that my grandma, when she canned, we should probably do some of that again, but we start to can, all right? But what happened is that she put them in there, and after a while, just the dust and all the soot from being in an old-time basement, it gets like this black, dusty film. You know what I'm talking about? Almost like the old charcoal basement where they had the charcoal film, you know what I'm talking about? So anyways, we're going down in this basement. He's taking my hand. He says, let's go down here. So I'm like, okay. And we're just plowing through these boxes in the basement. Talking about the heart. And as we're going through the basement, I notice something. That there's this one box that's kind of hidden behind a box on like the second or third shelf. And I was like, okay. So we're going here and it's getting to the end of the day. And he goes, I was tired. He goes, wait. There's one more box I want you to open. Okay, he says, see that box on the backside? So I grabbed this box. The thing about this box was this. It wasn't dirty. It wasn't the things I had to remove from my life. It was a white, pristine, gold ribbon, a little beautiful little gold bow on top. So he sat down. He says, I want you to open that. And I was like, really? Yeah, open that one. I opened it. What I found in that box blew me away. See, the thing that was in that box was Scott Hatfield's dreams. They were my hopes. They were my future. See, what I have done because of all this, gosh, I don't want to say that word. Let's be churchy. Crap in my life. I suppressed those dreams. The dreams that he gave me. The reason why Scott Hatfield is here to do what I'm doing now. But until I removed all that stuff, the last thing, after all that labor and all that pain, he gave me this beautiful gift. And I opened it up and I saw just the hopes and the dreams of my life. And he says, now it's time. Now it's time. Now it's time, guys. We look at our world. We look at our culture. I'm going to be honest. Sometimes when I listen to some talk radio, which I shouldn't, when I hear the feuding and the fighting and the bickering and the backstabbing and the ugliness of our culture, I've got to be honest. I get pulled in sometimes. I get pulled in way too much. I got to turn it off. I got to pull out my Brian Duncan. See, I played that song as this because I can't imagine, guys, where Scott Hatfield would be. I can't imagine where Scott Hatfield would be without him. I mean, my finite little mind could probably go, yeah, I could probably be on some bad road, some bad path. No, I can't even imagine where this boy here would be if it wasn't for Jesus. If it wasn't for what he did on the cross. Now, as he cleans these rooms out, there's some things that he wants me, or wants maybe us, to put back in those rooms. Because we know the word says what? You clean out a spirit, and you don't maintain the room, what? It comes back what? So I can get rid of that bitterness of my ex-wife and the things I wanted to do when she betrayed me twice. And it come back worse. Because that word says, from the heart, the mouth speaks. It goes on and says, and it defiles a man. And there's a list of stuff that it does. It even says, you can get to a point where you're unfit, it says, to worship God. Because your heart is so caught up with that bitterness, the hatred towards that person. You know, I thought about that when the Lord was telling me about the bitterness, and I thought about it's been some middle of the month when there was all these shootings like in the office places, all these killings, these senseless killings. And I'm watching them, I'm like, oh God, why? And the word he dropped in my spirit was bitterness. People, something happens with folks at work. They get fired for whatever reason, right or wrong, I don't know. But it starts to fester. Because what happens, that defile is, it goes on to malice. Malice is that, if I remember right, it's that premeditating. Oh, they fired me. I'm going to go in there and shoot that place up. I'll get me some justice. It's that bitterness in the heart. So we need to remove those things. And these are some things that the Lord says we need to do. First and foremost, we need to replace those rooms because he wants to pull all that carpet up. He wants to pull the carpet, the curtains down. He wants to put new fresh paint on it. Lay on a nice wooden floor. I mean, he wants to deck our house out in our heart. He wants to deck it out with love, joy. Fill those rooms up with love. Fill your rooms up with joy. Fill your rooms up with peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. That's what I need to work on when I'm going down the highway and people are cutting me off my work truck. Gentleness, what do you mean gentleness? Get in front of this 18-wheeler. Oh, Lord, here's the hard one. Self-control. And see, it goes on and on. So my challenge to us this morning, guys, is maybe ask the Lord. Because, see, I didn't think I had this bitterness towards my ex-wife. Guys, 10 years? Really? The great Scott Hatfield didn't work through that in 10 years? 10 years. I'm ashamed of that. 10 years. I challenge us this morning. In your time with Father, ask him, is there a box in the attic? If there is, reveal it. Because the one I didn't read, forgive me. Really, I'm going to wrap this up. I didn't mean to go this long. I apologize. Thank you. Sorry. It says in Psalms 139, it says this in the 23rd verse. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the paths of everlasting life. Maybe that was supposed to happen. So this morning, Lord, I just pray right now, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you help us to examine our hearts in this hour that we are in. When our culture and our world needs more of Jesus, help us to examine our hearts, that we have the right heart when we approach things in life. And Father, as I have always prayed, Lord, I pray that our hearts will beat as your heart. Where we need to have compassion, give us the compassion. When it's hard for us to have empathy, give us empathy. Where we need to have more love, help us to have more love, Lord. And Father, we know that we can only do this through your Son, Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.